Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Dr. Alveda King. She's an evangelist, and she's the director of civil rights for the unborn for Priests for Life. The website is priestsforlife.org. She's also best known, perhaps, as the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Alveda, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Well, great, Dr. Jerry, and I'm actually evangelist Alveda King now more than anything else. And people have often said, oh, pro-life is your passion. I said, that's a vocation.
Exactly. All right. And
Christ is my passion. Jesus is my passion.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Very good. All right. So recently you wrote about the subject of the story we can't seem to get away from in recent times, the story about the lady that used to work for President Trump, I guess on the television program, The Apprentice. And I must be the only one in America. I never saw that show, but but I've seen him in the presidency, and I mean, not up close and personal, but Omarosa, and she's got this book. She wants to sell this book, and she's claiming that this man is a racist. What are your thoughts?
The only thing that's very unfortunate about that, I've met Omarosa, been around her four times. I had forgotten when I first met her about 5 years ago. It was during the celebration of Martin Luther King's statue being moved to Washington, D.C., and also dealing with the I Have a Dream anniversary, I Have a Dream speech, and she ended up on the bus with the family of Martin Luther King for a little while. And my kids say, Ma, don't you remember? That's when you actually first met her. I said, well, what was so sad to me is that she has continued and into this election and into this administration saying all of these very kind things about President Trump. And now when the paychecks stop, I hate to put it that way, then there, he's a racist, he's a this, he's a that. I said, what kind of times are we living in when people can be reduced to that type of behavior for money? It's very sad.
Now, she alleges that he supposedly used the N-word. And on the one hand, she claims that she has tapes of things, but on the other hand, there's no tapes that seem to be damning, at least nothing that I've heard yet.
Nothing yet. And they say she has many, many tapes, and she's going to be releasing them, and I guess she might. But the credibility is at issue. For instance, during the Obama administration, she worked in that administration in about four positions, and they would move from one to another, but it just kept being too tense and too this and that. And so she finally left that. And, of course, we know that on the reality show, she was fired three times. And so here she is in this administration with similar behavior. However, it's not like I'm angry with her or bitter or anything like that. It's just like a reality check. Now, how much of this can we believe, considering how often the circumstances change?
Well, I guess the ultimate question, it's not just, I mean, this story is going to go away, you know, and then the next, there'll be some other story. But the real question here is the president a good guy or a bad guy? Is he a racist, or is he trying to work to, you know, bring healing in the racial tensions issue?
President Trump is not a racist. I knew that and understood it very well when he says, you know, we all bleed the same, no matter what color our skin is. And that, to me, was Acts 17:26. Of one blood, God made all people to live together on the face of the earth. So he understood, you know, my uncle, Martin Luther King, Jr., we must learn to live together as brothers, and I added sisters, or perish together as fools. We are human beings. We are one race. So I said, oh, wow, he gets it. And then they would ask him when he was a candidate, so what do you do to combat racism? He said, everybody needs somewhere to live. They need to be safe. They need to enjoy their families. He just went on and on. He says America just needs to be great again for Americans. And then anybody all over the world who wants to partake in our goodness, hey, the goodness that we experience, then we can welcome them too in the right order. So I said he gets it. So no, he's not a bad person. He's not a racist. Has he made mistakes in life? Well, who hasn't? And you know my testimony of being post-abortive. That means I had two abortions, and my body was damaged through that. I ended up with a miscarriage. Had quite a few things to happen in my own life. God has forgiven me. So I like that, ye who is without sin cast the first stone. And those are the people that need to answer that question.
Hmm. Now, do you think that this story about Omarosa is just basically today's headlines, and in a couple of weeks it'll be gone, and then there'll be some new story to replace it against Trump, but this is going to be short-lived?
Well, I understand. I hear that Omarosa has all these tapes, and that she's just going to keep releasing another tape and another tape and another tape. So I don't know how long she'll keep releasing the tapes or not. I'm not so sure. But what's so interesting, and I hope she thinks about this, the media that's sensationalizing her story now and all the hype in the book, it's not because they care about her. It's just they really kind of want to destroy President Trump at all costs. And when she's no longer useful in that manner, then they will definitely move on to the next person. We can be assured of that.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, too, because even I heard one little tape that was supposedly bad, where General Kelly, the chief of staff for Trump, was letting her go, and there was nothing damning about it at all. In fact, if it was very professional, it was like, well, you know, let's make this an amicable parting so that you can look back and you say, you know, I served my country by serving in the White House for a year, and this could be real positive. And, you know, and it was like, where is the negative thing? Where's the smoking gun?
Where's the evil, mean, throw you out the door, hate you? Because President Trump had told him, if it's at all possible, work it out. It was not possible.
Yeah.
And so President Trump also says, and I believe it, that she came to him with tears in her eyes begging for a job. I can believe that.
Yeah.
So it's... You just have to kind of look. But what I said, when we think about what we really should be considering, it's all the good work that President Trump has done, is doing, and will continue to do. And just think about it. Now, I'll go to the pro-life first Mexico City policy, where we're not sending money over to countries to help pay for and fund abortion. He abolished that. Supreme Court justice that will really uphold the Constitution and the intent to not kill people but to help people live in a better, healthier America. So he has done those things. The steel mills. When I was a young girl in Birmingham, now my home was bombed. Birmingham was very racist. They call it Birmingham. But we lived across the street from a steel mill, and the people of every color, ethnicity, worked at the steel mill, got paychecks. And everybody had homes, nice clothes, going to church on Sunday, and all of that, right in the middle of racism. Now, all the steel mills closed, you shut the farms down, you start making the cars and everything overseas, and then you wonder why people in America are not thriving. So many of our people ended up in jail. He's dealing with prison. President Trump is dealing with prison reform and working that out. So bringing the steel mills back, bringing the industries back. He said, when I'm president, we're going to bring the jobs home. He is certainly bringing the jobs home. So certainly, he says, when you rip these little babies apart in their mother's womb, oh, that's terrible. Yes, it's terrible. He says, we need to stop that. He's working on stopping that. So we can just go line by line and precept by precept, looking at all the good things he's doing through executive order, and he's leading. So that's, I think it's more sensible to listen to that. Oh.
Than to listen.
I'm trying not to say too many things.
Sure, I understand. I understand.
But I don't like the name he called her particularly. Wacky, I could have lived with, but the other name, I wasn't totally delighted with that. But I could understand why he said it. So
yeah.
I'm like, Lord.
Lord have mercy. All right, well, let me ask you this. I understand that unemployment for blacks has gone down significantly under President Trump. So things are a lot better in the black community in general under his leadership. Is that correct?
That is totally correct. I cannot tell you how many African Americans or blacks or brown skinned people, whatever you want to call us, have come to me and whispered in my ear, he's really doing good. And I appreciate you helping him.
Wow.
You know, they have to whisper sometimes because they are ostracized if it's known that they agree with that, you know?
Yeah.
So I get that. And so it's almost like, okay, so we all bleed the same. We're really one race. My grandfather's grandfather, Nathan Branham King, was born in Cork, Ireland. He was a Caucasian man. My grandmama's people, Mama King, her folks were slaves, and they were freed in their emancipation. So here you have two freedom-fighting bloodlines joining together in what makes the King family legacy, coming out of Daddy King and Mama King. My mom is part, Naomi's part Cherokee. So here I am. I ask people, okay, all the time, what race am I? And they look at me, well, what do you mean? You're African-American, you're Negro. I say, look, I'm human. You are, too. Get over it.
Yeah.
You
know?
So we have to understand that. And so many black folks, so many African-Americans come to me quietly, whispering, thankfully. And you see the approval rating is going up. It really is.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I heard somewhere that around 29% of the black community might actually vote, in ways in favor of Trump or whatever, would vote for him,
yeah,
or whatever, support him. Now, that would be huge because, I mean, I remember, I think George W. Bush or maybe it was Romney, I forgot, somebody got a small percentage, but and they did a little
one
bit better.
11. One got 11.
Really? Who
and
did that?
In certain parts of the region. I think that was George W. Bush.
Yeah, yeah.
And a few places, even 13%. Ronald Reagan may have gotten 9 or so. That's when you first saw an inkling that it was changing. And so I was like, wow. And African-American men in this particular race with President Trump, more African-American men voted for him than women. But now that's changing. Some of the African-American women are getting it because they're experiencing those benefits. And my goddaughter, her name is Angela Stanton, and she's a reality TV star. She has her own publishing company. But she was a felon. She was in federal prison, and she had her baby while she was chained to a bed in the federal pen.
Whoa.
And they took the baby out of her arms. And so she called me one day crying, and she says, okay, we need to help the immigrants. I agree with you. But they're separating us from our children in the jail over here. The penalties are too harsh. And can you do something? And she's just crying and upset, and she was right. And I noticed in this new House resolution that is forbidding chaining pregnant women in restraints when they're pregnant in the jail. And I was glad to see that. That's part that's in this new House resolution to deal with prison reform. So there's just so many things that the president is doing, and African-Americans can see this. And I've had people say, I got more money back on my paycheck. What is this? Hmm. I say, well, didn't he tell you he was going to work on the taxes? Didn't he tell you he was going to let you go back to work? I say, so he's keeping his word. That's what it is.
All right, and how about abortion? Some of the biggest criticism against President Trump is from those who favor abortion rights. And obviously you and I would disagree with that. Your comments.
Well, I was watching on the social media. I try not to do too much of it, but I do check it out. And some other sources and some news sources. And these ladies are hysterical, especially the Caucasian ladies. You better go get the actresses in Hollywood. You better go get your abortions now because this man is not going to let you get one. I'm like, ma'am, abortion will kill your baby. It could give you breast cancer and cervical cancer. And the things, the shots and the pills, the Depo-Provera, all that's going to make you sick, ma'am. Do you understand this? And so some of the black ladies, when they're really, I've had black women, African-American women, in tears saying to me, I never got over it.
Mm.
And we've got a new book, when I say we, coming out of Priest for Life team, Dr. Teresa Burke, and PhD, doctor, and Dr. Karen Stevenson, MD, who works with us on projects through Rachel's Vineyard Silent No More Awareness Campaign, and me. And we are talking about slavery, racism, and abortion, and the female psyche.
Wow.
And they do the science, and I'm doing the Bible, although they do the Bible with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that book should be up in a few days. It was up on Kindle Reader, but I think they took it down. It's going back up with a few changes. So when black women and all women are finding out the lies and how we have been tricked, we are waking up.
Wow. And at that point, we'll end our time because the time is out. PriestForLife.org for more information. Dr. Alveda King. Thanks so much for joining us, Doctor and Evangelist King.
Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you.
All right. God bless you now. Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye.